From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. He said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the person through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I'm sorry,' you should forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what he was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" As he continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 leopards met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they were going to be cleansed, one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. He fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he said in reply, "The coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed, and no one will announce, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, 'Look, there he is,' or 'Look, here he is.' Do not go off. Do not run in pursuit. For just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end or another, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Similarly, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. On the day when Lot left Sodom, fire and brimstone rained from the sky to destroy them all. So will it be on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a person who is on the housetop and whose belongings are in the house must not go down to get them. And likewise, a person in the field must not return to what was left behind. Remember the wife of Lot. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses it will save it. I tell you, on that night there will be 2 people in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. And there will be 2 women grinding meal together. One will be taken, the other left." They said to him in reply, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will gather." The words of the Holy Gospel. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus speaks to us about the virtue of faith, about our response to what he has revealed about himself, something that is outside of our power to access unless he grants it to us. And he does grant it to us. But it's something that exceeds our ability without that. So he's speaking here of what we can know only by his revelation, that the fact that, for instance, as he says, it would be better to be strapped to a boulder and drowned in the East River than to lead someone to sin. That's obviously something we can't recognize ourselves. It seems like it would actually not be that good to be drowned in the East River, but that's just me. Something else, we have to the necessity of constantly forgiving those who offend us is something that we're not inclined to do without God first sort of showing the way. We're selfish. It's exhausting to keep forgiving those who abuse us. But that's why faith is involved. And the apostles, in response, say, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to see all of these things the way you see them, to see why it is that leading somebody into sin is so much worse than being drowned in the East River by a big boulder. Help us not to approach the whole of reality through our broken humanity, but through your lens, through your vision. And the Lord responds to this request with the parable of the servants who do what they're supposed to do without asking for commendation. Why? It seems like the Lord is, in this parable, actually affirming the apostles for doing what they're supposed to do. Namely, asking for an increase of faith is what they're supposed to do. That asking God to increase the gift of faith, which he's already given us, is how we respond to the facets of revelation that we don't understand. To ask him to conform us to his own greater understanding of reality, as opposed to being content with our own wrong view of things. Being drowned in the East River, pretty bad thing. The faith that he gives us at baptism and increases in the sacraments and when we ask for it is healing. And we see that in this next episode with the 10 lepers. Their exterior cleansing is a sign of the interior healing that the Lord wants to bring about through faith. But it's only efficacious. The sign only actually shows what is going on in the case of the one who is actually cleansed of unbelief, the one who comes back to thank Jesus, the guy who doesn't take it for granted that Jesus doesn't owe him anything, the guy who sees that the miraculous thing Jesus does for his body points to the miraculous things that Jesus wants to do for his soul. In other words, faith gives that one leper a new lens through which to see reality, even though it's a dark lens and he can't quite see everything clearly. He's nevertheless seeing what is really there. But without the lens of faith, it's more like looking at the world through virtual reality goggles. You're seeing what isn't there, something other than what's right in front of you. That's to look at reality through our natural perception of things, not trying to see them through the lens of faith, through the perspective of God. And so all of these teachings on faith in this chapter culminate in what our Lord says about the kingdom of heaven, that it's not something observable, not something we can point to, but it's in the midst of us, really, in us, within us, that it dwells in our souls by faith. Or rather, God dwells in our souls, and faith is an effect of his presence. An effect that gives us a real knowledge of God, who is already dwelling within us. And our response to that presence, the Lord says, is not to listen to the false prophets of the age, not to look back on Sodom and Gomorrah, like Lot's wife, but to allow, he says, our life to be lost, because in losing it, we find it. Allowing our life to be lost in the sense that to be conformed to Christ interiorly and in our exterior manner of living is a manner of losing our life, because the world doesn't treasure this. So allowing our life to be conformed to the cross of Christ as the sign of the coming of the kingdom, Jesus Christ and him crucified, him rejected by the world. And this whole process of being conformed is something that happens through faith, something that happens through the presence of God inside of us, transforming us, of faith illuminating our minds to actually see through the lens of God, not to see what isn't there, illuminating our minds so that we can know the one who lives in us and respond to his offer of friendship, responding to him, though, as he actually is, not as we would want him through our virtual reality goggles. The apostles say, "Lord, what on earth are you talking about? This doesn't make a lick of sense." And he gives this cryptic response. He says, "Where the body is, there too the vultures shall gather." Namely, don't live your life according to the flesh. Don't live your life away according to the way the body leads you, the way that the world tries to convince you that your body is king. Because soon enough, your body is going to be food for vultures. Live your life instead through the lens of faith. Faith that Jesus Christ loves you and has come to save you from your sins. And all you have to do is roll out of bed every morning and accept that, to receive the love that he gives you. Easy enough, right? I don't think so. To be conformed more and more to himself. This is a grace that he has to give and we have to beg for. So, Lord, increase our faith. Make us like you. Make us see you and know you through the lens of faith. Make us come to love you more, to know you more, to understand you more, to see the world as you see it. Knowing that in all of this, the more that you transform us into yourself, the readier we are every day for heaven.